ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
So the devil gets us to move away from God's Word so people don't get saved. I think it's really important. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I think, again, to me that is really, really important. Keep in mind, this church was in Philemon's home. We think of churches meeting in buildings because that's pretty much what we know of. But for the first three centuries, they probably were meeting in houses, not in buildings. Also, it's possible that Archippus was their son. Again, we can't be sure of it, but it seems that way. And all this is going on while Paul is where? He's a prisoner in Rome. He's under house arrest, yes, during his first imprisonment, but he's chained to a soldier 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Paul does not say he's a prisoner of Rome. Where is he a prisoner from? Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus? Why did he put it that way? Isn't that interesting? He didn't say, I'm a prisoner of Rome, because he knew the Lord was in control of his life. He wasn't in Rome by some accident. He needed to speak to Nero and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with him. That's where the Lord wanted him, and that's where the Lord's using him. The palace guards are getting saved. The other Christians are being encouraged. And I think it's important, when you have that perspective that the Lord's in control, no matter what happens in your life, it's not going to stop you from serving him, because you know God has a plan, he has a purpose, he has a reason. I may not understand it, but he does. And that's really the most important thing. We need to, especially in these days that we're living in, there's so much confusion and emotions and things going on. We have to be careful that we are not portraying ourselves as being angry or fearful or mad or whatever. Our mission, no matter what happens, is to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the lost and dying world. And Satan loves to take us on these rabbit trails. And they may be the rabbit trails are real trails, aren't they? Yeah, rabbits travel them. That's why they're rabbit trails. But they don't lead you anywhere. What do I mean by that? They don't lead you to the mission that we're called to do. Now, yes, there are times, all this stuff is going on in the world and people are like, what in the world is going on? Well, let me tell you. You say, use that as an opportunity to share with them. Yes, this is exactly what the Bible said. Paul talked about men will be lovers of themselves. Then he listed a whole bunch of stuff that will be manifested in the lives of these people. Have you watched the news lately? Men will be lovers of themselves, and look at how they're acting. That's exactly what Paul said. And you look at this country, you go, can it get any crazier? How many more statues are we going to tear down? What is the point? We need to bring them back to the reality. Because we know the truth. And the truth will set them free from the lies that they're holding on to. I talked with someone last week about this. Because they were into, Black Lives Matter and all this stuff. And, he says, I just want to see peace and people getting along with each other. And I said, well, that's really good. That would be wonderful. But it'll never happen unless a person gives their heart to Jesus Christ. And even if it could happen, even if you were able to get people to get along and be friends, you're making people happy going to hell. So have you done anything? Everyone gets along and then they spend eternity in hell. They're not going to be happy with you, are they? So we got to bring the gospel to them. Paul was a man who didn't let circumstances stop him from the mission that God had given to him. We see it in Paul's letter to the Philippians. I mean, here's a guy in prison. Yeah, house arrest, but he's still chained to a soldier 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Why is he in prison? Because he's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. you would think Paul would be saying, Lord, what's up? I'm serving you, man. I'm in prison now. This is horrible. How can I do my work? How can I build people up in the faith? How can I share the gospel and see people saved? I'm in prison. But he doesn't say that. In fact, the letter to the Philippians has been called the epistle or letter of joy. I think if I wrote that letter, I don't think that's what they would say about it. That's my heart problem, right? But Paul knew. In fact, in Philippians 1, verses 12 through 14, Paul said, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. I don't know about you, but man, having someone chained to me for 6 hours a day and then another person rotate and then another, they're chained to me. They got to hear me. They can't run away. Could you imagine those guards at first? Oh, man, here's this Paul guy. Jesus this, Jesus that. Come on! And all of a sudden, they start getting saved. I'm sure Paul was praying for them. He said, hey, you got any family things I could pray for? Or, wow. Not only did that happen, not only were the palace guards getting saved, but the Christians in Rome were being built up in the faith. Why? Because they saw the example of Paul. Look at this guy. He's in prison. The guards are getting saved. You know, the gospel isn't chained. It doesn't matter what happens to us. And they had a more boldness to speak forth the word of God. That was all while he was in prison. And I'm not saying that it's easy, because it's not. But what I'm saying is, as we look at the things that are going on in this world, guys, it's going to get worse. I don't know if it's going to wax and wane, you know, good and bad, but right now I don't see it getting good. So are we ready? Are we prepared? Are we praying, Lord, help me to be a witness for you. Help not my flesh to manifest itself because, well, that's my prayer because I read Facebook, not as much as I did, but help not my flesh to be manifested because there are some things I want to say that aren't nice. Thank you, Lord, for keeping me off of Facebook. But it's going to get tough. I mean, several weeks back, Jeff had posted the Lord's Prayer on Facebook, and Facebook, you know, put him in Facebook jail. They took it down. That's just the beginning, you know. It's interesting that people or, you know, these companies like Facebook and stuff, they become the law. This is not acceptable to what we believe. Well, wait a minute. I thought we had the freedom of speech. What just happened here? Oh, no, you don't have that freedom. We tell you what you can and can't post. I'm thankful that we are still, you know, have the radio station, that we're still on YouTube, that we still can put information up on Facebook. It may not always happen. Don't let these things move you from what God has called you to do. In fact, that's what Paul told the Ephesian elders at Miletus. He said, none of these things move me, because he was going to Jerusalem, and everywhere he went, they were telling him, you're in trouble when you go there. And he's like, none of these things move me. I know what I'm called to do. And that's the kind of mindset we have to have. Okay, Lord, nothing's going to move me from the course that you put upon for my life. I'm going to follow you all the days of my life, no matter what happens. I want to abound in the work of the Lord. I'm going to trust in you. Well, look at verse 3 here in Philemon. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's kind of Paul's standard greeting in his letters, grace and peace, and it's always in that order. And the reason being is you cannot experience the peace of God until you first make peace with God, and that peace can only come through Jesus Christ. That's the only way. Paul said in Romans 5, verses 1 and 2, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have peace through Jesus Christ. It's then that the peace of God can fill our lives. Or as Paul said in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, Be anxious for nothing, but everything with prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Wow, that's awesome. So I've made peace with God, and now the peace of God can fill my life in the most difficult of situations. And I know some people think, well, I don't know if I could do that. Well, you're not in that situation right now. But when you're faced with something that's really difficult and you say, Lord, I need help here, what do you think the Lord's going to do? Do you think the Lord's going to say, hey, good luck, do it on your own? Of course not. He's going to give you the grace you need to endure the situations you face. And then it's up to you to surrender to Him. Look at verse 4. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Remember, this letter is to a friend. You know, imagine you write a letter to a friend and now a whole group of people are reading it and examining it. But that's what's going on here. We're looking at a letter that Paul wrote to Philemon, but he was inspired by the Holy Spirit. So this message that Paul wrote to Philemon is for the church in general. It will minister to us. Look at the love that Paul has, praying for him. Paul was a man of prayer. We see it in Romans 1:9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of the Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Wow. Ephesians 1, verses 15 and 16. Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. 1 Thessalonians 1:2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. You know, notice to the Romans, the Ephesians, the Thessalonians, and here in Philemon, Paul lifted them up in prayer as well as others. Is prayer important? Absolutely. And it should be important to us. This is why I encourage people here to use the phone list and pray for the people in our church every day. And you could just do one column each day and pray for them. Well, I don't know what to pray. Lord, just lift them up in prayer. God will show you. He'll put it upon your heart. We have prayer on Saturdays. The ladies are having prayer on the first and third Tuesdays of the month at 9:30. Pray for me. Pray for the leaders. It's so important. There's a tough battle out there. Paul not only prayed for them, he took notice of what Philemon was doing, the work he was involved in, his love for people and his faith in Jesus. And he wants Philemon to bear fruit. That's a great thing, isn't it? Yeah, that's a great thing to pray for people. Lord, that make them fruitful in their lives, that, you know, encourage them. Because isn't it easy to get discouraged? And then, you know, you see one person saved or a person ministered to, and man, it encourages you. It fires you up. But it's a battle. I think that's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing your toil, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We need to remember that. You know, any work that we do for the Lord, even though we may not see fruit right away, or maybe not at all, it's not in vain. It's not empty. It's not worthless. God has a plan. He has a purpose. And all we can do is rest in that. Okay, Lord, I may not see it, but you do. And I'm going to keep doing what you call me to do. And as Philemon shared every good thing of God with people, it refreshed the people. And I think that's so important for us, is to bring refreshment to people, to encourage people. Every good thing of God. We can bring all kinds of things to people, but what about the things of God? Sharing our faith, giving them the word of God, encouraging them, bring refreshment to them. You know, the brethren, the body of Christ, Christians, were important to Paul. And I think it's so important for us. You know, it's exciting to see people. You know, I said this before years and years ago. You know, I would close with prayer and, you know, my eyes were closed because it's just what I do. I don't get distracted that way when I'm praying. And opened my eyes, and it's all of a sudden I opened my eyes, and everyone's like scattering out. They're gone. It's like, what happened? Where'd everybody go? Now, you know, I got to flick the lights like at the bar to get everyone to go. No, I don't want you to. I don't want to make people rush to get out of here. I'm excited when they stick around and fellowship and talk and just hang out together. Why? Because you get to know each other. And you, as you get to know each other, you know what? You get to know what to pray for them. That's the wonderful thing. Well, as we continue on here in Philemon, verses 8 through 16, we're going to see Paul, the beseeching intercessor. Look at verse 8. Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. You know, Paul's kind of done with his greetings to his friend Philemon, and now Paul's getting down to why he's writing this letter. And think about it. He hasn't mentioned Onesimus until the end of verse 10. In fact, in the Greek, it's the last word. Why did Paul wait so long to get his main point for writing this letter? Again, Onesimus was a runaway slave, okay? He not only ran away from Philemon, but according to verse 18, it seems like he stole some things from Philemon. So he's in trouble. And notice what Paul's doing here. And it's interesting because it shows great wisdom. He's basically saying, you know, my beloved friend Philemon, before I tell you what I need from you, keep in mind that I'm an old man. I'm the aged one. Not only that, I'm also a prisoner. Is he buttering him up? I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. But not in a bad way. Everything he's saying is true. Why did he do this? Because every time someone brought up the name Onesimus, it maybe made the hair on the back of Philemon's neck stand up. Have you seen Onesimus? Yeah. Oh, man, that guy, Onesimus. Yeah. No. He ran away. Haven't heard a thing from him yet. So Paul's kind of just working this in there. And so he says, look, I appeal to you for my son whom I begotten while in my chains, Onesimus. You know, kind of throws it in there. Maybe a dramatic pause, I don't know. And I think Onesimus thought, you know what? Rome is filled with people. Who's going to find me? Really? Think of all the people in Rome, hustle and bustle. You know, you just blend in with the people. You know who found Onesimus in Rome? God did. And we don't know how, you know, if someone brought Onesimus to Paul, we don't know how this thing got together, but it did, and he gets saved. It's the sovereignty of God, the hand of God, his plan. Predetermined appointment, I guess you might say. There's also this ancient Greek law which the Romans inherited. They could, if they wanted to, allow any escaped slave a place of sanctuary at the altar. And the altar could be the hearth of a private family home. So the head of the family was then obligated to give that slave protection. And he tried to persuade the slave to return to his master. If he refused to go back, then he would have to put the slave up for auction and give the money to the slave owner, to the slave's former master. So Onesimus, maybe that's what's going on here. Paul's gave Onesimus protection, and now he's working the issue out with Philemon for Onesimus to return to him. And it's kind of interesting because verse 11 here, we kind of miss out in the English what is being said. You know, the English reads, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. Onesimus' name means profitable or useless. You see, at one point, Onesimus was not useful. He was unprofitable. But now that he's received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, he is profitable. He can live up to his name. I like the way the Living Bible puts that verse. Onesimus, whose name means useful, hasn't been of much use to you in the past. But now he's going to be of real use to both of us. Yeah, Onesimus was not only going to be useful to Philemon, but also to Paul. His whole life is going to change. I don't think Onesimus was a very good slave. I think he was kind of a rebellious one. How do I know? He ran away. I don't know. I mean, it just seems obvious. And he stole from his master. So I don't think he was a great guy. Something changed now. He got saved. It's like Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Wow. He's a new man. Not just dressed differently outwardly. Changed from the inside. And that inside change that God has made is manifested in his outward characteristics, the things that he does. This one who was once useless, not profitable outside of Christ, is very useful, profitable in Christ, because the old life has passed away and he has a new life in Christ. He's useful. Look at verse 12. I'm sending him back. You therefore receive him, that is my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. Yes, under Roman law, Philemon had every right to put Onesimus to death for what he did. You know, he not only ran away from his master, but again, he stole from his master as well. Roman law allowed it. I mean, 60 million slaves. 25% of Rome's population were slaves. That's incredible. And if you were caught and your master didn't want to put you to death, he'd brand you with an F. Can you imagine a big F on your forehead? No. But that's what they did. Now here again, there's no mention that slavery was wrong or needed to be abolished. And again, people struggle with that. How could that be? How could God not come against it? Because that's not what it's about. You know, you get rid of slavery, right? You got women trafficking now. So are we any better off? No. It's just as bad. Why? Because you haven't changed the heart of man. You stop one wickedness, believe me, they come up with many more. Because the heart of man is wicked. One writer put it like this. He said, the attitude of the New Testament towards slavery comes into focus in this epistle. We notice that Paul does not condemn slavery or prohibit it. In fact, he sends Onesimus back to his master. But the abuses connected with slavery are condemned and prohibited throughout the New Testament. Forcible revolution is not the Bible way to correct social evils. The cause of man's inhumanity lies in his own fallen nature. The gospel attacks the root cause and offers a new creation in Christ Jesus. It is conceivable that a slave who has a kind master might be better off than if he were independent. This is true, for instance, of believers who are bondservants of the Lord Jesus. Those who are his slaves enjoy the truest form of freedom. In sending Onesimus back to Philemon, Paul was not doing an injustice to the slave. Both master and slaves were believers. Philemon would be obligated to treat him with Christian kindness. Onesimus would be expected to serve with Christian faithfulness. Absolutely. You know, think about it. Prohibition, right? No more alcohol. How did that go? Well, they were making it. Moonshine. They were, come on, the people had their distilleries, right? So you had a law that said no alcoholic beverages. People broke the law. Imagine that. Again, it's a heart issue here. And you can change all the laws you want. It's not going to matter. Some people will obey it, no doubt, because, you know, that's just the way they are. But for the most part, I mean, look at what went on in Seattle, right? That's a heart issue there. And I think, you know, for us, that's the key. Lord, help us to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Because that's the only thing that's going to change them. They are being conformed to the image of the world, whether we agree with it or not. And you may not like this, but the church is being conformed into the image of the world. All you have to do is look at what's going on in some churches. And it's not a worship time and a hearing of God's word. It's an entertainment time and a rock concert. I'm not saying you can't go to a concert, But when I come to church, I come to worship God. When I go to a concert, I just want to hear music, right? It's different. But here, I want to worship God and I want to hear from Him. And so when I worship the Lord, I'm preparing my heart to receive His word. That's why worship is so important to me. And for Paul, he's telling Philemon, look, I'm sending this man back to you. Don't punish him, man. He doesn't deserve it. Or he does deserve it, I guess. Don't put him to death. Treat him as I do. Be merciful to him. Philemon, or Paul makes this appeal to Philemon based on three things.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers. Breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.